ॐ जननीं शरदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मोरुमुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विथ अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस, मे वी विथ अवर आईज ऑलवेज सी व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। मे वी लिव अवर अलॉटेड लाइफ hail and hearty, offering our praises unto thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace. Peace be unto all. We are discussing the Tritiya Prashna of the Prashna Upanishad, which is the third chapter. Six disciples, six chapters, six Prashnas. And this third disciple, Kausalya, he has asked one question which contains six sub-questions. And the mantra goes like this: Atha ha enam kaushalyaha ashvalayanah paprachha bhagavan uta esha prano jayate katham ayati asmin sharire atmanam va pravibhajya katham pratishthate kena utkramate katham bahyam avidhatte katham adhyatmam iti. A son of Ashvala, called Ashvalayana, but the normal name is Kausalya, asked the Guru Pippalada, Bhagavan, Sir, from where is this prana born? Is born from Atman. Born means manifesting. Atman itself is manifesting as prana, both in the external world and in the internal world. Second question, how does it come into this body? By the prarabdha karma into each of our bodies. And that's why different bodies, different types, different colors, different talents, different energies, different expressions. That is the answer to the second question. How does it abide in the body? How does it abide in this individual body? How does prana do? The answer has been given. I divide myself into five: prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. And how does it depart? By one of the activities of the prana called udana. What does it do? It helps the jivatma to get out of this physical body, and its function is whatever is to be thrown out in the form of vomiting, in the form of feces, etc., so that it can maintain. It is the clean out process. That is the special function of udana. So that is how prana itself enters into the body. Prana itself helps the physical body to throw out so that it can acquire a new physical body. Like exactly as the Bhagavad Gita says, like a person when he finds his dress is worn out and it is no longer useful, doesn't serve its purpose, throws it out only to acquire a new body. That answer we have seen. That was the fourth question. Fifth question, how does it support what is without? That is, this Mukhya Prana or Sutratma or Hiranyagarbha or Saguna Brahma or in popular terms, God, the Creator. How does he do it? Look at the Puranic model. Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, and Shiva is the dissoluter. So the same functions, the same questions. Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, one divine power, known as three different names, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, depending upon what activities that Brahman is doing, Saguna Brahma is doing, same thing, exactly same in Vedantic language. How does it support? Because there is only one supporter. There is one creator, one supporter, and one recycler. take everything back into himself. But we know how that Mukhya Prana, Sutratma, Hiranyagarbha, or Saguna Brahma, or God, supports our each one of our individual bodies by separating or by performing five different functions, so known as five different names, Prana, Apana, Vyana, Udana, and Samana. So, the same process collectively, universally, cosmically, how does it support? And that is the fifth question. And that is what is being answered in the third chapter as the answer to the third disciple's six questions. And this question is the fifth question. How does that Mukhya Prana or Bhagavan support the entire universe? That answer is given in the mantra 8. We enter into mantra number 8. Adityo havai bahya prana udayati eshaha hi enam chakshusham pranam anugrihnanaha prithivyam yadevata sa esha purushasya apanam avastabhya antara yat akashaha sa samanaha vayur vyanaha. Now, the same Brahman is supporting each individual in the form of pancha pranas, depending upon five different types of activities, and all the five different activities are absolutely necessary for maintaining each individual prana, and the exact same process must take place cosmically. In this eighth mantra, four particular functions, four corresponding deities, presiding deities of these individual pranas who maintain the entire universe is going to be told. But before I go further, I want to tell that these are nothing but what we call both in the Upanishads, in the Puranas, in the Tantras as Pancha Bhutas. What are the Pancha Bhutas? Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Apaha, Prithivi. Only here they have been given more or less the same names, excepting a little bit slight different this one. So how does the Creator God, after creating, sustain this entire universe not only individually but cosmically. But here is a important point. When God is supporting the entire creation cosmically, it automatically means He is supporting every individual. Because if you take this example or analogy, how does prana sustain the eye? How does the prana sustain the hand? How does the prana sustain the leg? How does the prana sustain the digestive system, evacuatory system, or the breathing system, or the distributing system, etc.? Instead of asking so many different questions, we can ask that how does that creator sustain this entire body? What is called body, individual body, universally that is called world, jagat. So by saying it is God who sustains the entire universe, the answer is already given. Because what is the world? What is the body? My hands, my legs, my eyes, my ears, my nose, my nostrils, my mouth, all the parts of the different sides of my body is called body. Body is not a separate anga part. Body is the collective name for all the parts of the body put together. So what is jagat, world? All the individuals, whether living or non-living, because remember, according to Vedanta, there is no non-living. Everything is living, whether we can experience it or not. Even a stone is living. I gave illustration. One day Sri Ramakrishna saw that when he was walking on the banks of the Ganga in the Panchavati, a stone was following him, jumping. Instead of walking, because it doesn't have legs, it is jumping and following him. Later on, he remarked. Who remarked? Sri Ramakrishna remarked. What did he remark? Where do you draw a line between the living and the non-living? Everything is spontaneously vibrating with Chaitanya. He said, I saw a small worm crawling, and even that worm is also crawling with the Chaitanya. I saw Chaitanya crawling. It is the Chaitanya which is crawling. He is not saying it is the body which is crawling. But the highest knowledge will be there is no division between body, this is body, this is mind, and this is consciousness. All the three are three different manifestations of one Chaitanya. There is no difference at all. Individual Chaitanya, reflected Chaitanya, body and mind, all the three are just manifestations of the one pure, eternal, infinite Chaitanya. And we are all that Chaitanya. And we must, at the moment, we do not have that knowledge. The goal of life is to know that I am that Chaitanya, and to know that through experience, through spiritual sadhana, to have that knowledge, I am that pure Shuddha Chaitanya called Brahman. I am Brahman. That is what every Upanishad is striving to convey to us. And this Upanishad is no exception to that teaching. So how does Bhagavan sustain the entire external world? Through the Panchabhutas. And here a special illustration is added through Surya Bhagavan. Remember, how are all the prajas born, pranis born? With the first is the Bhagavan Prajapati divided himself, manifested himself as Rahi and Prana, as Aditya and Chandrama. And that Aditya concept, who is Aditya? Prajapati. And who is Prajapati? The Creator God. So that same idea is being hammered into our brains, because very hard for us to understand. So when you look at the Surya, he is the sustainer of this entire universe, because he gives us prana. Prana means energy. Energy alone can make us active. Energy alone can make us think that I am the body, I am the mind, and finally, I am the Shuddha Chaitanya. And how does the Aditya do it? Through all the Panchabhutas. All the Panchabhutas are manifestations of the Aditya Devata. That is the final meaning we have to understand. Once we understand, this mantra is very easy to understand. Adityo havai bahyaha pranaha. So this prana, which is divides itself into five activities within each one of our individuals, that same prana collectively working through every single living creature is called bahya prana, external prana, and that external prana is the collective prana. That external collective prana is none other than Adityaha. Adityo havai bahya pranaha. What does he do? Esha udayati eshaha hi enam chakshusham pranam anagrinnanaha. He bestows his grace by his very rising. As soon as the sun rises, what does it do? Sunrise means light coming up. And the light is experienced by which organ? The eye organ called eye. The capacity to see forms is possible only because of the indriya called the eye. And Aditya, that sun, is manifestation of the eye within us, manifestation of light and manifestation of all forms. He is all the forms, he is the light which illumines all the forms, and he is all the eyes which make it possible for every jiva to experience every particular form. And we have to extend the same thing. It is the same Aditya in the form of Akasha. He is the Akasha Devata, that is the counterpart, universal, cosmic counterpart of our Shrotrendriya. So, once I talked about this Adhyatmika, Adibhautika and Adidaivika triangle, God divides himself into each individual called Adhyatmika, consisting of all the five sense organs, and he enables all the five sense organs through five instruments, through the Akasha, through the Vayu, through the Agni, through the water, through the Prithivi, and he gives corresponding sense organs so that we can experience them, so that that can sustain our individual life so long as it continues to be. This is the essence. How does God sustain the external world? In the form of Aditya, Surya, the sun god. How does the sun god sustain? In the form of the Panchadevatas. So these Panchadevatas are representatives of these Pancha five divisions of the prana. Correspondingly, we will come to that point. So first point is the light. The Bhagavan Surya gives light. Through that light, we can, through our eyes, experience all the forms. That is what he is telling. So, chakshusham pranam anagrinnanaha. Anagrinnanaha means out of his manifestation. That is called grace. And grace means manifestation. How? Suppose A student worships Mother Saraswati, and Saraswati bestows her grace. How does she bestow her grace? In the form of that particular knowledge or understanding of that particular subject, which that particular student, if he is a student of medical science, medical knowledge, if he is a student of geology, geographical knowledge, or physics, physical knowledge, music, musical knowledge, sculptor, sculptural knowledge, poet, poetical language, knowledge. So whichever language a person is seeking, and he will get it only by the grace of the God, because God is the embodiment of all knowledge. So anugrihanaha prana. So he enters that in the form of prana into the eyes, ears, etc. That is the with regard to the prana inside, as the counterpart of prana in the external world is called Aditya. Next is Prithivyam Yadevata Sa Esha Purushasya Apanam. So next is Apana, function of the prana. First prana function. Remember, we are not talking about Mukhya prana here. Talking about the divisions of the prana. So that first division of prana, which also goes by the name of prana, which is breathing in and out, etc. And that prana goes through the Aditya or the Surya Bhagavan, bestows in the form of light and gives that power to the eye to see. So prana is the individual counterpart. Surya Devata is the cosmic counterpart. Next is Apana. So this Apana function. Who is the counterpart? Prithivyam Yadevata. That deity which is known as Prithivi, Bhudevata, Saisha Purushasya Apana. So the counterpart of Apana aspect of the individual prana, for that the cosmic counterpart is called Prithvi Devata. And then Samanaha, prana, apana, samana, he is not going according to this one. Samana Devata, samana prana. Samana prana, remember, equidistribution of energy after digesting. Digestion means energy. Energy has to be distributed. In my last class, I mentioned it, that each of those, what we call the every sense organ. So the sense organ of knowledge requires very little energy. To hear, to see, and to breathe, we don't require much energy. But to walk, to grab, and then to lift, etc., we require tremendous energy. So, like a mother distributing according to the need of her children, this Apana Devata distributes all the energy that is produced by digestion to different parts of the body so that they can equally function well, harmoniously, and maintain the body. And who is that Devata? And this Devata is called Apana, counterpart is called Prithivi Devata. Then Samana Devata. We are talking about Samana distribution. Akashaha is upon Avastabhya Antara yat Akashaha sa Samanaha Vayuhu Vyanaha. So the Vayu Devata, among the Pancha Devatas, remember, we talked about the Aditya, we talked about the Prithvi Devata, then we talked about the Akasha Devata. We are talking about Akasha. Akasha means that which is the very first five elements. And without Akasha, no other function can be done. So, Apana Vayu is the individual part, counterpart, universal, cosmic counterpart. Apana Vayu is Akasha. And then we have fourth one in this particular eighth mantra, because he is talking about the other part in the next mantra. So, samanaha vayuho vyanaha. So, vyana part. Prana, apana, vyana, samana. Udana we will come later on. This vyana part of the prana function, it's in the individual, its counterpart is called Vayudevata. Because Vayudevata also, it blows everywhere. And it is equally, without that prana vayu, we cannot function. So without vyana vayu part of the prana, we cannot function. So four parts of the prana are equated with their cosmic counterparts, that is prana in the individual, in the sun, in the cosmos. And then we have seen the what we call Prithvi Devata. It is the counterpart of the Apana Devata. And Samana aspect of prana, is its counterpart is Akash Devata. And Vyana part of the prana is called Vayu Devata, cosmic part. This is how the same Lord, in the form of the Panchabhutas and Aditya, he is sustaining every individual. But if he is sustaining the whole world cosmically, he is called Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Apaha, Prithivi, and Aditya makes the overall possibility. But if we are understanding the same thing from the individual point of view, prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. If we understand it, this is how the external world is upheld, supported, is made possible. Let us not forget, every individual is only a part of the cosmic or universal body of God, called Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara. So this eighth mantra is taking up the question how the prana conducts the function of the not only the individual body but also the cosmic life principle. He is called Hiranyagarbha, Sutratma, Saguna Brahma, etc. What are the individual parts? Prana, apana, vyana, udana and samana. What are the corresponding? We have already discussed, but to fix it at least for this class in the mind. Surya corresponds to prana and the Surya is active in the eyes. Bhudevata, earth, corresponds to apana part of the function of the prana devata, which regulates excretory and regenerative system. And akasha devata corresponds to samana, which regulates the digestive system. As we say, his heart is as large as Akasha. So this Samana Vayu, without any discrimination, partiality, it distributes everything, all the energy required to different parts of the body. Of course, it itself is sustained by that. Then Vayu is the cosmic counterpart of Vyana, part of the body, which energizes the entire body, vyana. That is why, if you don't breathe, thanda ho gaya. But only you have to breathe correctly, required amount of pranavayu. That is very important. And finally, Agni, which is going to come in the next mantra, is called Tejas here, not the word Agni, but we have to understand as Agni Devata corresponds to Udana, which sustains life. How does it sustain? We all know there is a homeostasis and so much of heat should be there and it should be maintained in that degree, should not go down, should not go up. In either case, if it goes up or down, then life cannot be sustained. So this is how Bhagavan is sustaining the entire world. So we have seen the four. Now we have to see the fifth, which is the corresponding one, which comes in the mantra 9. So, Aditya, Prithivi, Antariksha, Vayu, we have seen. Agni Rupena, Prana, Bahyam, Prapancham, Avidatte. That is what we are going to see now. Udana part of it has been left out. Four functions of the individual Mukhya Prana has been described with their corresponding universal counterparts. Now mantra 9. Tejo hava udanaha tasmat upa shanta tejaha punarbhavam indriyaihi manasi sampadyamanaihi. Fire verily is the ascending breath, udana. Remember, the purpose of udana is to expel whatever is poisonous, whatever is not needed. But its most important functions is to expel the prana outside this body. Prana means the sukshma sharira, karana sharira, which includes the prana. Because this body is no longer useful. At that time, this udana vayu is what comes to our aid. That is what being described in mantra number 9. Tejo hava udana tasmat upa shanta tejaha punarbhavam indriyaihi manasi sampadyamanai. Fire is verily the ascending breath. Therefore, he whose fire of life, heat of life is becoming extinguished slowly, takes a rebirth with the senses absorbed in the mind. So whenever this process of death is being described, and at the time of death, this udana part of the prana, it is going to help us. Now, what were the questions? That how Bhagavan is sustaining the entire external world, cosmic, the whole cosmos. So the counterpart of this, what we call udana, part of the prana in our individual body, its cosmic counterpart is Agni. Here Teja means Agni. In the Upanishads and in Puranas also, this Agni and Teja, these two words have been interchanged without any confusion. So we should not get any confusion. It is the fire. That is what we have to understand. And especially what happens is that when the body becomes, for example, in cold season, not sufficient warm clothing is there, so we hug ourselves. And the heat produced by the entire body sustains that part of the body which requires a little more heat. That is why we assume the fetal position, and that's why we hug ourselves. And there have been times when people had not yet learned how to even make skins, as use skins of dead animals or killed animals. Later on they found out this one, and then it produces heat. They use it to huddle together, all of them, keeping the children in between them, so that the children will get the maximum body heat, and that is how somehow they used to survive. Of course, many people used to die also. And in some of those northern regions, when food is very less, the family members, the oldest members, will be a terrible burden on the resources of the family. So they know instinctively it is time for us to make way for the younger ones. Otherwise, the whole family will be in danger. So at midnight, deliberately, how courageous. They just go out, walk off, throwing out. They do not carry any clothes. And it is freezingly cold outside. And they know this is how our ancestors followed, and we will follow. So very soon, the little fire that is inside the body, it becomes frozen, and the next, everybody is knows intuitively tonight our grandmother or grandfather is going to walk out, and then whatever cloths are left out, immediately they are grabbed, so that whatever little we have, they can sustain. How life, human being struggles for life. That is being said here. The external counterpart in the cosmos is called fire, Agni, and Surya Devata. Remember, he represents Akasha, he represents Vayu, he represents Agni, he represents water, and he represents food. And if you can meditate upon that Surya, that Pranastuti means Surya Stuti actually, Aditya Stuti, we have seen it in our past classes. If you have forgotten, please try to go, at least I can only suggest to you. This is the, what we call, Upasana of the Prana Devata is nothing but Upasana of Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan is manifesting, sustaining, not only creating, not only sustaining, all when it is necessary, he will give us a new dress to, in order to continue our struggle so that we can go back to him in the end. So, fire, verily the ascending breath. Therefore, he whose fire of life has been extinguished takes a rebirth with the senses absorbed in the mind. So, what happens when a person dies? What is death? That is, it is not only what is the counterpart of Udana, but what happens at life. That is being beautifully, marvelously depicted in this ninth mantra, and this every part of this Upanishad is a very practical part. However foolish we are, if we are a little bit humble, we can really, we have no choice but to accept God exists and we are God and we are sustained by God. We come from God, we are going back inevitably to God. So, Tejaha means Agnihi, Ha, Va, Udanaha. This Udana, the individual counterpart of the Prana within each individual body called Udana, and its cosmic counterpart is called Tejaha, or that one of the fifth elements called Agni Devata. What does it do? Upashanta Tejaha. Upashanta Tejaha. Tejaha means heat, fire. So, Upashanta, slowly, slowly, the fire is going out from the dying person. This is the description of a person who is about to die. And slowly, the heat is going out. The body is getting cold. What do we say? Thanda ho raha hai. And the doctors also touch the body and see also, the because teja means energy also. So, when the energy is less, the heart beat, slowly it is coming down. Only a few days back, I have seen in one of our Swamis in the hospital, I was seeing there is a machine to measure the breathing. Slowly, the time interval between the breathing is becoming less. Then, the nurses understood and they called the doctor. Doctor came, immediately put his stethoscope, is measuring the heartbeat, he is holding the pulse, he is also seeing near the stomach, I don't know what he was seeing, but I can see clearly, slowly the heat is coming down, slowly the energy is coming down, slowly the person's breathing is becoming longer interval and still longer interval. And then I was very curiously watching, and then the Swami took a deep breath and it stopped. No more expelling, etc. Because that expelling has already been done by this Udana Vayu. That is being graphically described in this ninth mantra. And all of us, whether we will or will not, have to be ready for that. And if we can meditate upon this, then our minds will become very calm and quiet. Not only that. What happens after death? That is also being described here. So, tasmat, so this Udana part, counterpart, is Teja, Agni Devata, Ushnata, heat and light, means energy, heat comes down, energy comes down, tasmat, when it is slowly coming down, upa shanta tejaha, tejaha means the heat, the energy, shanta, slowly becoming less and less and less. Upa shanta means thanda ho raha hai. Then what happens? Punarbhavam indriyaihi manasi sampadyamana. What happens at that time? You only remember, according to our scriptures, the body is thrown out. But all the pancha pranas, that is part of the subtle body and part of the causal body. The subtle body is part of the causal body. And so both of them combine together and then slowly they give up this body. So here this Udana Vayu helps the Jivatma, who is so much attached to the body, doesn't probably happily want to throw it out, even like we are attached to old and worn bodies, but not prepared to die. Slowly, it helps us to kick out, to throw out this body, and then laughing, the Jivatma will travel from there, but already it has decided, I quit this rented body and I am going to occupy, already a contract has been made, how long am I going to stay, what I am going to pay, etc. Those ideas we will discuss shortly. So, what happened? The person whose fire of life has been extinguished, he has to take rebirth. Here is a crystal clear teaching that says that death is not the end of life, but he takes a rebirth. But what happens to his senses, his eyes, his ears, etc.? Because there are the body has got windows called golakas, but the real sense organs, they are inside. Indriyas are inside. They are subtle. They belong to the subtle body. They cannot be seen. They cannot be inferred. So, along with all that, the sukshma sharira and the karan sharira depart from that body, throwing out this body, and then they travel and they know exactly which house. So, just as a person, he takes out all his accumulated property, the things that, whether it is beds or mattresses, almirahs, everything, he bundles on a truck, he goes to the new rented house, and then he rearranges. It is the exact same process that happens. And here, Udana is the most important part of the prana aspect, which helps us to throw out, even if we are forcibly clinging to it. When a person is dying, his physical body disintegrates, but the power or strength of his sense organs or pranic vitality slowly withdraws from the centers and become united with the subtle body, which becomes united with the causal body called mind. And then this totality, subtle body and the causal body, along with the Chidabhasa, reflected consciousness, called Jivatma, this called subtle body, is conveyed to its next field of activity for rebirth in another body as suited for the next expression of his samskaras. And Bhagavad Gita is in essence of the Upanishads, so it is also telling, Mamaiva Amsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Manaha Shashtani Indriyani Prakrutistani Karshati. The same ideas that we discussed just a moment before, they are being crystal clearly expressed in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, 7th shloka. Embodied souls in this material world are my eternal fragmental parts. Remember, everybody, every individual is a part of the cosmic body, but bound by material nature. They are struggling with the six senses, including the mind. But what happens when death comes? This jiva departs from that body only in order to occupy another body. Shariram yadavapnoti yachyapyut kramati ishvarah grihitvaitani sanyati vayurgandhani vashyati. Just as wind carries all any sort of smell, good or evil, so also as the air carries fragrance from place to place, so does the embodied soul, jivatma, at this time, after death, consisting of the subtle body as well as the causal body, with all the samskaras, carry the mind and senses with it in their potential forms, and when it leaves an old body, enters a new one, and again re-spreads, just as furniture which is packed and carried and reaches destination is unpacked and kept in its proper places. Again, all the senses will be working through the new body. So what goes into the one window goes into that window. What should go into the what is called eye window goes into the eye window. What should go into the ear window goes into the ear window, etc. All the five sense organs, all the organs of action, everything is at last set up, and slowly growth takes place, and according to the growth, the knowledge grows. According to the knowledge, the activities also will grow. So that is what is written. Now, what is discussed here in this ninth mantra? That this Udana Vayu helps us carry this jiva, all the sense organs, etc. Remember, sense organs is not the body. Body is only a repository to keep, like windows called golakas. So it helps us. But what type of body are we talking about? Is everybody's body the same? Absolutely no. No two leaves are alike. No two hairs are alike. No two snow drops are alike. Many years back, somebody has published when it snows in winter season, other seasons also, somebody has taken with a special camera individual snowdrops, and every snowdrop is a special photograph, individual photograph, and they published it in this book. And the pattern, first thing that strikes, such extraordinary design, what appears to be a stupid blob of white something is having such extraordinarily beautiful design, which no even jeweler can ever conceive. And the wonder of wonders, that no two snowdrops are alike. Everything is different. So every body is different, because every samskara is different, every desire is different, every strength of the willpower is different, everything is different. No part of the body is, even two eyes are not alike if you really observe. So no two nostrils, two hairs of the same body are not alike. From gross point of view, they look the same, but they're all totally different. What are we talking about here? This Udana helps the Jivatma to leave this body and find out a body. Now the question comes, what specializes? How? What is the mechanism? What is the way that every Jivatma chooses a particular body? That is going to be explained in the mantra number 10. Yachittaha tenaisha pranamayati. Pranas tejasayuktaha saha atmana tatha sankalpitam lokam nayati. Whatever are one's thoughts, especially at the time of death, that thought remains with the outgoing prana. Here prana means the entire individuality. So this prana, coupled with Udana and Atman, leads to whatever world has been conceived in the last thoughts. The idea is, in the Bhagavad Gita, all of us have read and remember, antakale cha mameva स्मरन् मुक्त्वा कलेवरं यः प्रयाति समद्भावं याति नास्त्यत्र संशयः. बट् दि ऐडिया इस् वाट् एवर् इस् दि लास्ट् थाट् अण्ड् दट् लास्ट् थाट् डिटर्मिन्स् दि फ्यूचर् बर्त्. बट् देन् the clever fellows can argue, I will do whatever I like, but when the time of death comes, I will suddenly withdraw from everything and think of God. God is also clever and life is also clever. Mind is very clever. So, it is we only, ignorant, stupid individuals who feel that I can do whatever I like and I can think of whatever I like at whatever time I like. That's not going to happen. What we cherish whole life, what Swami Yatheeshwara Maharaj used to call that our center of consciousness, that alone will determine our future birth also. So, we have to deliberately sit, discriminate, fix upon a goal and struggle whole life. That is called spiritual sadhana, to think of what we want to think, not what the world dictates to us through its influence upon us. So if we can think of God, the last thought will be only God. Whatever are one's thoughts at the time of death, that thought remains with the outgoing prana. But that last thought will be determined by what we are thinking throughout our life, the center of our consciousness. And that is an important principle we should never forget. Prana coupled with Udana, because Udana helps us to kick out this body which is no longer of any use, but we are still clinging to it. This is the most tragical part of life. We know so many things which are not useful to us, but we are going on clinging. It's very difficult to give up. And that is being said in the Bhagavad Gita. Just now I quoted, whatever last thoughts, the next birth depends upon our last thoughts. But as I said, our last thoughts depend upon what we think whole of our life. So that is the meaning of this special mantra, that we have to take care. This is the answer that how this prana departs, where does it depart, what does it do after departing, and then who helps it to depart, all those sub-questions have been answered in this 10th mantra. It is the udana part of the prana that helps us to cut that strong rope with which we are clinging. Even an old man suffering so much has absolutely no hope, unable to breathe. If he is asked, why don't you give up the body? He will not give up, because he is so much attached to that body. So here is a great teaching to us, that do you want a better body? Because there is nobody who says, I am quite satisfied with what happiness I am getting, with the type of parents I have. It's a very interesting question. I hesitate very often, though I thought about it. Ask all of you who are listening to my talk, you are all sincere aspirants. There is no doubt about it. How much you struggle is a different issue, but you are all very, very intent upon progressing in life. There is no doubt about it. You have to ask, so how much of your life, our life, my life, your life, each individual life, is influenced for good or bad upon by our parents? Do you want the same parents? Ask a simple question and you will get. Do you want the same parents in your next birth also? If it is a worldly person, he will probably say yes. But even worldly persons will not say, I can tell you. That may come as a surprise to you. Suppose there is a weak fellow, small fellow, but very personality is very less, and he is always feeling, if only my father had been a little taller, a little stouter, if only my mother was more educated, etc., etc., how many of us would not be thinking such thoughts? So, what do we wish? We want those kind of parents because of whose I get my future body, and my future personality depends upon what type of body, because we see so many people, very tall, hefty people, whenever they come across us, the first thing they do is put their hands upon our shoulders, making us feel that I can put my hands on your shoulder because I'm a better personality than you. Whether it is sports fans or musical fans or scientific fans, everybody wishes a particular wish. According to that wish, their bodies also are wished for. Remember, without that physical body, it is impossible. And therefore, it is most important for us to understand that even we question, do we want the same mother, the same father, the same brother, the same sister, the same husband, the same wife, the same colleagues, the same village, the same town, the same language, the same religion? Interesting, isn't it? So, all these are implied in this particular 10th mantra, Yachittaha. Wherever our mind in the last moment is completely fixated, Tena Yesha Pranam Ayati. The next, the prana comes to that particular body, created, wished for, ardently prayed for, to that particular body. Pranaha, this prana, Tejasa Yuktaha, is endowed with Udana, that is Agni Devata, Sa Atmana, Tatha, Sankalpitam Lokam Naiti. It takes to that Sankalpita Loka, means the desired for, wished for Loka. Remember, even a stupid fellow wishes to go to be born in the most intelligent family. That is not what is meant. Not what we wish, but what we deserve. Sankalpita means what we wish for, what we desire for. But here the special meaning is what we really deserve, and this deserving comes as the result of what karmas we have done, how we fixed our thoughts on what subject, what goal we have been pursuing throughout our life, and that makes all the... So, our last thoughts depend upon what we do, not perhaps one life, but janma janmantara, and our next body will be our loka. If we want to be musicians, it will be musical loka. If we want scientists, it will be scientific loka. This concept of the loka is a marvelous concept, and there are quite a number of points I want to bring about, which I will do in tomorrow's class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.